Thank you.
So, so now I would like to begin by mention some very basic facts in the theory of homogenization. And all of this is fairly basic, and I'm sure that a lot of you here know, and if you have read a book on homogenization, I'm sure that you know. So you can see that here, this A epsilon here depends on epsilon in that way. So we can write A epsilon x as A x and x by epsilon. So you can see that when epsilon is very much less than 1, this A epsilon here changes very fast from point to point. And here we suppose that this AXY here is Y periodic in Y. And by Y, we mean a cube of size 1 in RD. And as I say, when epsilon here is very much less than 1, this A epsilon is changes actually fast from point to point, so we have almost no way to solve it, to find the exact U epsilon here. So what we would want to do is we want to find out what happens when this epsilon goes to naught. So we write down U epsilon in terms of an asymptotic expansion. And what we do here is the well-known two-scale asymptotic expansion, which is a very basic concept in the theory of homogenization. And if you have read a basic book on homogenization, like those by Bensu Somliomes and Papanikolaou or Bakhvalov and Panasenko, I'm sure that you know. So we can show somehow that the first term here, U naught, does not depend on epsilon. So it is Y, I just write it as U naught X here. But then U1 depends on epsilon in an exactly the same way as this A epsilon here depends on epsilon. So we write U1 as U1 X and X by epsilon. And if you want, you can write down a few more terms here, say epsilon square, U2, X and X, X by epsilon, and so on. But all we need for now is U0 and U1. So I just keep U0 and U1 here, and I'm not going to write down a few more terms here. And since, as I say, U1 here depends on epsilon in an exactly the same way as this A epsilon here depends on epsilon. So we also have U1 XY, which I should have said, but I did not, so I say it now. So U1 XY is also Y periodic in Y. And we want to find out what happens when epsilon goes to naught. So we just put this asymptotic expansion into here, and we just match the left-hand side and the right-hand side, and then we can find U0 and U1. And we can show that U epsilon goes to U0 in the weak sense in H1 naught when epsilon goes to naught. So say when epsilon goes to naught, U epsilon goes to U0. U0 is the first term here. So if we want to find out U epsilon in the mean side, in the large, all we need to do is to find that U0. But if we want to find out how it changes from point to point, then we also need to compute the term U1 here. And you can show that when epsilon goes to naught, and if we have some regularity for U0 and U1, then in H1 norm, U epsilon minus U0 minus epsilon times U1. The H1 norm of this is less than C times epsilon to the 1 half. So you can see that when epsilon goes to naught, what we need to do is to find U0 and U1. And here is the basic idea of the theory of homogenization, and I'm sure that a lot of you here know. And we can find one equation for the first term here, U naught, and it is the well-known homogenized equation. And here is the homogenized equation. So let's leave them here. And here is the well-known homogenized equation for U naught. And this A naught here, you can see that A naught does not depend on epsilon. And for all the right-hand side, we have exactly the same A naught. So if we can solve this, we find U naught. And as I said, we also need to find U1, and we can write U1 in terms of U0. And here is how we write U1 in terms of U0. We write it as sum of the U0 by dxi, x times wi, xy, and we take the sum when I goes from 1 to d. And of course, here we work in d. Right? And if we want to find wi, xy, we need to solve the equation for y inside the cube y, and here is the equation for wi in terms of y. So we fix a lot. So we fix x, and it just solve an equation for y. And then once we have this wi xy, we can find a naught in terms of this wi. So here is how we can write a naught in terms of wi. But this bold first w here is just the vector w1, w2, so on, wd. And so we need to solve this. We have the wi. We put it into here. We have the a naught. We put a naught in here. We solve this equation. We have a u naught. And we put both wi and u0 into here, we have u1. And this can be done if we want. But if we want to find wi, we need to fix a lot of points, say x1, x2, and so on. And for each of them, we need to solve one equation in terms of y. So it is not so simple to do, but at least if we want to do it, we can. But it turns out that we have just one equation for both U0 and U1. We just have one equation for U0 and U1, and once it is solved, then we have both U0 and U1 at the same time. And if you have worked on homogenization, you know that it is the very well-known two-scale homogenized equation, and it is for both U0 and U1. This holds for all for phi0 inside H1 and for phi1 inside L2 omega H1y. And here we also want to find U0 inside H1 and U1 xy inside L2 H1y. Yes, and it is for both U0 and U1, and it is in both x and y. So this equation is posed in 2D. So you can see that the dimension here is quite high, and it is not simple to do. So in 2005, Christoph Schwab and I developed a way to solve this equation. And we show that we can achieve a rate of convergence as L to the 1 half times 2 to the minus L, but I should write it as log H to the 1 half times H, where H is just the mesh size. We can achieve this rate of convergence with only a number of degrees of freedom as L times 2 to the DL, but I should write it as log H. Log h times h to the minus d. And say when we solve just a simple PDE in RD, in order to achieve a rate of convergence as H say that they need a number of degrees of freedom as H to the minus the D. So you can see that what we have here and we have here are more or less the same, except the log term. So if we want to find U naught and U1, we can either solve that, or we can solve the equation for WI that I have just shown. Yeah, we can solve this equation for WI and then we find A naught and we find we put A naught in here, we find U naught, and then we find U1. It is fairly hard to do, but at least it can be done if we want to. Now, but for the nonlinear equation, this cannot be done. For the nonlinear equation, we just can't solve an equation for WI inside the cube Y and then we find the homogenized equation. So suppose that we have a nonlinear equation. It's a little bit messing up. suppose that we have a nonlinear homogenization problem like this. So here is A epsilon x psi is defined as A x and x by epsilon psi for all the vectors psi in Rd. So here the vector psi is in Rd. And A x y psi is also a field, is also a vector field in Rd. And you can see that A epsilon here changes very fast from point to point when epsilon goes to naught. And we are supposed that for all psi 1 and psi 2 in Rd, this holds. And we also assume that the boundedness for A x y psi. And here we would like to solve U epsilon in W1P naught. And if we want, we can also write down an asymptotic expansion for U epsilon, as I have just done. We can write down an asymptotic expansion we can write down an asymptotic expansion as I have just shown. And you can also show that the first term U naught here does not depend on epsilon. And U1 here is of exactly the same form. So what we want to do now is to find the first two terms, U naught and U1. And it turns out that we do not have an equation for the WI, but in dirt for each vector psi in Rd, we need to solve an equation inside the cube Y. So here is the equation we need to solve. We need to solve for V x psi Y, where we fix x and psi, and we need to solve an equation in terms of Y. And then if we define A naught as a mean value of this, so we define A naught as a mean value of this inside the cube Y, the homogenized equation is now a platform. So here is the homogenized equation. And then you can write down the term U1xy from this U naught here and from this V x psi y. So here is what it is. So we write down U1 x y as V, the radiant of U naught y. So it is U1 x y. And you can show that when epsilon goes to naught, this U epsilon minus U naught minus epsilon times U1 goes to naught in the W1P norm. So you can see that we we still need to fight U naught and U one. But here we can't find A naught and we can't solve this. Since for each vector psi inside RD, we need to solve an equation inside the cell Y. So we have lots and lots of equations to solve, and this cannot be done. So as the linear case, it turns out that we also have one equation for both U naught and U one. It is the two scale homogenized equation. So here's the two scale homogenized equation, and it's for U naught and U one at the same time. And this holds for all for W naught, for phi naught in W1 P naught, and phi 1 in LP, omega W1 PY. And we also want to find U naught inside W1 P naught and U1 inside LP W1 PY. So once it is solved, we have both U naught and U1. But this is posed in R2D, so the dimension is high. So the aim here is to find a way to solve this, to find U naught and U one, and this is what I am going to do. So at first, when we solve a simple PDE, we need to divide the domain into a lot of cells, and it is what I do now. I don't have a picture here, so here's a simple one. So first we divide the domain into a lot of cells, and say if I call it level naught, then the mesh size now is big O up to the naught side. And at level one, we divide each of these triangles into sub triangles and so on, and it's level one. We have the mesh size at H1 at 2 to the minus 1 and so on. For level L, we have the mesh size HXL equals big O of 2 to the minus L and so on. And for each level here, we define VL as the space of all the functions which are linear inside each of the triangles. So we have V1, which is for level 1, and V2 for level 2, and so on. And it is not hard to see that V1 is now inside V2, and they are all inside W1P and inside LP. And since we want to since here we want to find U naught inside W1P naught, we define V naught L as the intersection with VL and W1P naught. And then we will do exactly the same for the cube Y, and we have VY periodic. And since here we want to find U1 inside L2, omega W1PY, we define V1L like that. It can be shown that when L is large, when L gets large, this V1L will become dense inside LP omega H1Y. LP omega W1PY. So now we solve the two-scale homogenized equation, but we are going to find this U naught here inside this V naught L, and we will find this U1 inside this U1 and this V1 L, and this is well known. And here is what we do. We solve exactly the two-scale homogenized equation, But we find U0L inside V0L and U1L inside V1L such that this holds for all phi naught inside phi naught L and phi 1 inside V1L. And assume that it is done and with some regularity for U0 and U1, then we can also find the rate of convergence. And the rate of convergence now is just in terms of the mesh size, which is C times H L. And it holds when U0 is in W2P and U1 is in W2P for Y and in W1P for X. Then the rate of convergence now is in terms of the mesh size, and it's C times the mesh size. But as I say, this is for both X and Y at the same time. So this V1L here is large. So we can show that the dimension of V1L is something like big O of HL to the minus 2D. It is big O of 2 to the 2DL, which will get extremely large when L gets large. So you can see that it is not simple to use the whole of V1L to find this U1. So the main point of my talk here is we are not going to use the whole of this V1L, but we just use a subset of V1L, and we find this U1L inside that subset. And let me just recall that we have a sequence. Here we have a sequence. V1 inside V2, so on, inside VL. They are all inside W1P and inside LP. And here we also have a sequence which I did not write down here. It is V1 periodic inside V2 periodic and so on. And they are all inside W1P, Y, and it is of course inside LPY. And so for each of these VL, we define WL0 as VL minus PL minus 1 VL. And here is how I define PL minus 1. And you can see that we can write this VL here as the sum of this W0L and this VL minus 1. And it is also not hard to see that the dimension of VL is the sum of the dimension of WL0 and the dimension of VL minus 1. It is not hard to see why. And then we also do exactly the same for the sequence V1 periodic, V2 periodic, and so on. And we define it as W1L. And then we can write down our V1L. So here's our V1L. We can write V1L in terms of this W0L and this W1L. So here is what we have. It is the sum of all L0 and L1 from 0 to big L of WL00 and WL11. WL00 is from here, and WL1L1 is from here. And the main point of my work is we are not going to use the whole of this V1L, so we are not going to use the whole of this sum, but we just use a few terms. So we just choose those terms. terms W0, L0, and W1, L1, so that the sum of L0 and L1 is not bigger than L. And I call it V1 L bar. So of course V1 L bar is just inside V1 L. Now we solve the now we solve the two scale homogenized equation. We solve exactly the same equation, but now we are not going to find this U1L inside V1L, but we just find U1L inside V1L bar, such that this holds for phi 1 inside V1L bar. And here is what we have. We solve the two-scale homogenized equation, and here is what we have, such that this holds for all phi one now in V1L bar. This holds for phi one inside V1L bar, and we also want to find V1L inside V1L bar. Now, if we have some regularity for U naught and U one, we can also find the rate of convergence. And what we need is U1 xy must be in W1p for x and in W2p for y. And we also assume that U0 is in W2p. So here I did not write it down, so let's put it. So if U0 is in W2p, no, sorry, just W2p. And U1 is in W1p for x and W2p for y, then the rate of convergence now is C times L times the mesh size HL, which is C times L times 2 to the minus L. And we can write it as log of HL times HL. And when P is 2, we can show that we just have C times L to the 1/2 times C times 2 to the minus L. Now, if we compare to what we had when we used the whole of V1L. Here we use V1L bar, which is just a subset of V1L. But when we use the whole of V1L, what we have is, Now, when we use the whole of V1L, what we have is C times HL. And what we have here is C times L times HL. So it is not as nice as what we got when we use the whole of V1 and L, but at least you can see that when L gets large, it is not much worse. But this V1 L bar here is just a subset of V1 L, and we can show that the dimension of V1 L bar is just big O of L times HL to the minus D, which is much, much less than what we had for V1L. What we had for V1L is a big O of HL to the minus 2D. So here is the main point. We are not going to use the whole of V1L to find U1L, but we just use a subset of V1L. And as you can see here, the rate of convergence is not as nice as when we use the whole of V1L, but at least it is not so bad. It is not much worse when L gets large, but the dimension of V1L bar here is much less than that for V1L. And here's the key point of my talk here. So now I think that I would like to show you some numerical examples that I have done. So we just want to solve some simple equation in 1D to check if what we have done is right. So here we solve a simple equation in knot 1, where we fixed U epsilon at knot and U epsilon as at 1 as knot. And this equation is this equation holds for P E equals 2. And we can find out, and we can find the exact U naught and U1. So here is the exact and U naught and U1. And so it is why we can compare the radical versions to what we had. So here is the radical versions. This curve here is the norm of U naught minus U naught L, and it is in H1 plus U1 minus U1 L, and it is in the H1 omega and H1 Y norm. I mean L2 omega and H1 Y norm, and here it is just in 1D, so omega and Y are both just not 1. And this curve here is just here I put it in terms of n, but we can just write it as L to the 1/2 times 2 to the minus L. And you can see that when L gets large, the radical versions here behaves more or less as L to the 1/2 times 2 to the minus L, as we showed here. And here is for the case when P is 2. And we also have one more numerical example for the case where P is bigger than 2. So for the case when P is bigger than 2, here I have an example when P equals 4. We also solve it's not so simple, but at least for that case, we can also find the exact U naught and U1. Here we solve this equation in knot 1, and U epsilon at knot and U epsilon at 1 are both knot. And the exact U naught and U1 can be found, so it is why we can compare the radical versions. And here is what we have. This curve here is just a radical version of U naught minus U naught L in W14 and U1 minus U1 L in L4 omega W14 Y. And this curve here is just L times 2 to the minus L, or it is log of HL times HL. So you can see that when L gets large, the radical versions here goes down in a more or less in the same way as log of HL times HL. Right. So we have a way to find to find U naught and U1. But what we want to find is not U naught and U1. What we really want to find is this. What we really want to do is to solve this, to find this U epsilon. Here is what we really want to find. So how do we use the U naught L and U1 L that we have just found to find this U epsilon? We have shown that when epsilon goes to naught. So here it is true when epsilon goes to naught. We show that in the W1P norm. U epsilon minus U naught minus epsilon times U1 goes to naught. So if we want, we can put U naught L in here, it is fine. But if we put U1L x and x by epsilon here, I can show that the left-hand side now does not go to naught when epsilon goes to naught in the W1P norm. So we just cannot put the U1L in here. So what we do is we use what Sioranescu, Dovina Sioranescu and her collaborators called the inverse unfolding. And for each function phi inside L1 omega times y, we define a function which is U epsilon phi inside L1 omega. So we can show somehow that U epsilon is a map from LP omega times y to LP omega. And now if we use it for U1, then we can show that when epsilon goes to naught and when the mesh size goes to naught, we have a convergence for U naught L and this U epsilon of U1 L to U epsilon in the W1P norm. And it holds when epsilon goes to naught and the mesh size goes to naught at the same time. But now what we want to do is to find a rate of convergence. We want to find a rate of convergence in terms of epsilon and in terms of the mesh size. To find the rate of convergence for this, we need to find the homogenization rate of convergence. And so we need some regularity for U0 and U1. And we can show that when the domain is convex, then we can show that both U0 and U1 are in C2. We can show that both U0 and U1 are in C2. And when U0 and U1 are in C2, we can find a rate of homogenization, rate of convergence. What I mean by the homogenization rate of convergence is this. Yes, what I mean by the homogenization rate of convergence is this. Here we can show that an epsilon goes to naught, then U epsilon minus U naught minus epsilon times U1 goes to naught in the W1P norm. And the rate of convergence at the left-hand side to naught in the W1P norm is what I call the homogenization rate of convergence. And we need to have it for linear case. It is very well known that the rate of convergence, the homogenization rate of convergence, is C times epsilon to the 1/2. It has been done a very long time ago, and you can find it in a lot of books. But for the non-linear case, it turns out that it has not been done, and we can show that the rate of convergence of this in the W1P norm is epsilon to the power 1 by p times p minus 1. And you can see that when p is 2, this is exactly what we have here. So when U0 and U1 are both in C2, we can find a homogenization rate of convergence. And then we can write down a rate of convergence for U0L and U1L to U epsilon in W1P in terms of the mesh size and in terms of epsilon. And here is what I have. So here is the rate of convergence for U0L and U1L to U epsilon. You can write it in terms of both epsilon and the mesh size. And here is what we have for the full tensor and for the sparse case, what we have is this. It's epsilon to the 1 by p times p minus 1 and L times the mesh size H L. And it is a regular convergence in the W1P norm. And we can show that when P is 2, here we don't have L times HL, but we have L to the 1/2 times HL. Now, so say what we have just done is for the case when A epsilon is only depends on epsilon, so we write A epsilon psi as A x by epsilon and psi. So what if say it also depends on say epsilon 1, epsilon 2, and epsilon n, and so on. And here we assume that this epsilon I depends on an epsilon, and when this epsilon goes to naught, this epsilon I goes to naught. And we also assume that the epsilon I by epsilon I minus 1 goes to naught, and epsilon goes to naught. And we solve exactly, and we want to solve exactly the same equation. So the equation we want to solve it somewhere here, but I'd better write it down. So it's minus divergence of A epsilon x radian of U epsilon equals F. Now, if we just have one epsilon here, then what we need to find is U naught and U1. But now, since we have epsilon 1, epsilon 2, so on, epsilon n, we need to find a few more terms. We need to find U naught, U1, so on until U n. And here is what we need to solve. To solve, and it is posed in R(nd). So you can see that the dimension is so high. But we can do more or less what we have just done. So I am not going to go into details, but here is what we have, what we found. For the full tensor, we can also show that the radial convergence is in terms of the mesh size, it's C times H L, and for the sparse tensor, the radial convergence now is L times the mesh size H L. And we can also use that U epsilon that I have just shown to show a convergence for U naught L, U1 L, so on, UN L to U epsilon in the W1P norm. And here is what we have. And it holds when both epsilon and the mesh size HL go to naught at the same time. And some more work has been done, but this is all I have to show you now. Thank you.